Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Nicholas Snow Live for March 24th, 2015. I am your host, Nicholas Snow. It is 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, actually Pacific Daylight Time. And coming up, I'm calling the show Lakaj of Palm Springs. I've got the cast and masterminds behind Carnival Cabaret, an amazing female impersonator show. It's actually, that's oversimplifying what the show is all about, and really one of the most famous and respected and critically acclaimed female impersonators will be on the show today, James Gypsy Hawk, plus one of my friends, Alfie Pettit's on the show, and producer Dan Gort's going to be so much fun coming up after this.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow at The Nicholas Snow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google+. The snowstorm begins now. It's time for Nicholas Snow Live. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, having just drifted into the studio, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. I love it when I get to put people I know on the show. You know, my audience is worldwide, but I'm based here in Palm Springs, and I love to shine a spotlight on events that are happening here in the desert, and today's show is no exception. I have one of the masters of celebrity female impersonation coming up, James Gypsy Hawk, and also one of his longtime producing partners, Dan Gore. Also joining the broadcast, Alfie Pettit, a.k.a. Ariel Trampway, a new cast member of Carnival Cabaret. So Carnival Cabaret opened at Oscar's Cafe and Bar the last week of 2014 and sold out to primarily straight, wealthy, conservative audiences for whom its novelty appeal is strongest. It's been renewed twice with the aim of keeping the crowds entertained indefinitely. Performers rotate, and gracing the stage have been Marilyn, Liza, Pink, Katy Perry, Joan Rivers, Reba, and Madonna. Just to name a few. The show is ongoing at Oscars in Palm Springs, but if you're hearing this episode before April 1st, 2015, Carnival Cabaret, in association with Ariel Trampway Entertainment, Oscars Cafe and Bar, Lulu California Bistro, and members of the drag community are presenting a gala performance for a Carnival Cabaret, to celebrate the art of female impersonation and to honor film, stage, and TV actor, stand-up comic, and drag legend James Gypsy Hawk. And we're going to find out all the details of everything that I've just mentioned when I bring our three guests on the air after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California Bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before, and I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. you know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Compelling, intriguing, a mover and shaker, cutting edge, ahead of their time, a groundbreaker, in the news, worthy of the spotlight, amazing, informative, creative, and maybe even controversial. It's time for The Interview on Nicholas Snow Live.
And welcome to the snow. So as I was saying in the tease, Carnival Cabaret, in association with Ariel Trampway Entertainment, Oscar's Cafe and Bar, Lulu California Bistro, and members of the drag community will be presenting the gala performance of Carnival Cabaret to celebrate the art of female impersonation and to honor film, stage, and TV actor, stand-up comic, and drag legend James Gypsy Hawk. That's happening April Fool's Day, Wednesday, April 1st, 2015, at 6 p.m. here in Palm Springs. And also, Carnival Cabaret has become a regular fixture, and hopefully it's going to become a long-term regular fixture at Oscars in downtown Palm Springs. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our special guest for today. First, let me welcome to the show the man of the hour, Mr. James Gypsy Hawk. Welcome to the show. Should I call you James or Gypsy for the purposes of this interview?
Well, thank you. You can just call me Gypsy. And you're very special, too, because of your name.
Well, thank you, and I will call you Gypsy, and let's bring on your friend and producing partner, Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there. How's it going, Nicholas?
Fantastic. Good morning. And last but not least, Alfie Pettit, a.k.a. Ariel Trampway. Alfie, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Nicholas? Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. So this show is live right now, worldwide. I will submit it to the Huffington Post within the next few days, so hopefully it will get picked up by then. So I'm going to start out the interview. Well, first of all, Alfie and Dan, I understand that you're going to have a surprise announcement for James during the show. Alfie, you may not know that Dan had made that decision, so just for a heads up. But Gypsy, please tell me a little bit about your career for those who may not be aware of your fabulosity.
My fabulosity? Well, I got the name Gypsy because chorus boys that are dancers, boys and girls, dancers and choruses on Broadway are called Gypsies. And I started my career at the age of 19 on Broadway in musicals, and then I do National Road Company. So I danced from the time I was about 19 until about 27, 28, 30 years old in various Broadway shows and got to know a lot of famous stars, and they're still friends of mine. Cheetah Rivera is still friends, and she's the one that told me to always call myself Gypsy, so that's what I've done. And then I opened my own nightclub in New York called Gypsies on 58th and 1st, and a lot of people got their start there. Christine Ebersole from, the great singer, and Nell Carter, Jane Oliver, a lot of people got their start there. Then in 1978, when disco came, no one was going to cabarets anymore. So Grand Finale and my club, Gypsies, and Wolfie's Apartment in New York, they all sort of closed. So I retired, I thought, and then in 1978, and I wasn't quite 50 then, and then before I knew it, the original French film, La Cage aux Folles, opened, and of course it won the Oscar for Best Foreign Film that year. And a year after that, in 1981, La Cage aux Folles opened, the first of all of the La Cage aux Folles before there was a musical or anything. And Vivian Blaine, the star of Guys and Dolls, who was a dear friend, took me there with Connie Stevens, and before I knew it, I was hired to MC it. And that's how it began. I had never worn costumes like that, or girls' clothes or anything before then. So Vivian Blaine took me to Neiman Marcus and got me 8 outfits and clothes and all this, and we whipped up this crazy makeup I do based on Agnes Moorehead in Bewitched. And then 2 years after that, Mel Brooks and his wife, Anne Bancroft, came into the show, and before I knew it, I was tagged to co-star with them in a movie called To Be or Not to Be, and my name was submitted for an Oscar for that next year. I didn't win, but that's fine. And I went on to do a lot of films, one of them called Troop Beverly Hills with Shelley Long. I played the designer of the Girl Scout uniforms. And the reason I think it's so funny with your name, Nicholas, is because the director of that film, his name was Jack Frost.
Ah.
So I thought you'd enjoy that. Then I went on to do a whole bunch of films. I co-starred with Jane Fonda and Jeff Bridges in The Morning After, and with Raul Julia. And then I did Hollywood Wives for Jackie Collins, and played Coco in that. And then Joan Collins had me on a whole bunch of episodes of Dynasty. And before I knew it, the world went on, and then I was doing all that while La Cage was still going, too. I'd film, and then I'd go there. I played Uncle Otto on Married with Children because Divine, who was a dear friend, had just finished Hairspray, and I went to the rap party, and I was filming Troop Beverly Hills. I had one more day on it. And he said, well, I'm going to play Uncle Otto on Married with Children. It's my big, big break. But the Monday that they start rehearsals there for Married with Children, the poor Divine had passed away in his sleep at the hotel. So Katie Segal got on the horn and got the producers to call my agents, and I ended up playing that role. So lots of things. And then in 2000, Dan Gore, my producer here, called me in New York. I had another one of my famous retirements. And he said, well, the people want to know if you're still healthy enough to dance and scream and holler and yell and wear heels. And I was 68 then. So I said, yeah, fine. So I flew into Lake Tahoe. And we opened at the Horizon on my birthday in 2000, and we became the longest-running show in the history of Lake Tahoe. We were there for 4 years, the first run, and 2 years, the second run. And now I'm back here again. I was in retirement, and he said, no, you can't retire. You have to open at Oscars. I said, okay, fine.
Well, I was actually at Oscars. I believe that the first performance of the three that you did the week of New Year's Eve.
Oh.
And so I'm not a virgin to your show and your wit and charm and the overall wonderfulness of the presentation. Dan, tell me a little bit about your background. I know that one of your most famous incarnations is George Michael, but tell me a little bit about your background and take us up to the time where you first became familiar and friendly with Gypsy.
Well, when I was in high school, people used to tell me I looked like this pop singer, George Michael, and I hung around this other guy who kind of looked like Andrew Ridgeley. So that's where the whole thing kind of started, my senior year in high school. And then when I got out of high school, and at the time, prior to that, what fascinated me the most is being taken away when you're a teenager, you know, in those years. You know, a group of kids used to take me, I lived about 90 miles at the time from Hollywood. And we used to drive into Hollywood on certain weekends, and they took me to this club called Peanuts at the time. It was a very underground disco at the time in West Hollywood, just on the outskirts of Hollywood. And they had a show there called The Cosmetics. And The Cosmetics were all men. And I didn't even know that. Unbeknownst to me, they were men. And they did these amazing impersonations of Madonna and Tina Turner and Grace Jones. And I thought I was seeing the real people. I was 15 at the time. I didn't know. So that was my first touch of the whole drag world and the female impersonation world. And maybe 4 or 5 years later, after I graduated from high school, I began an act, a George Michael act. And then that was way before the internet, connected with agents through the mail and started touring as George Michael around the world. And it wasn't really extremely fascinating to me until I walked into a club called the Caution Fall, and I met these gentlemen who were like the Cosmetics, who did these amazing impersonations of these stars, and they were men. And I fell in love with that art form, never really pursuing it myself, never really wanted to, but really respected these men that could do these amazing impersonations and look just like the women, because I've worked with real women doing women, but no one, very few of the actual women would ever come as close visually to the look of the stars like the guys could. And that's what fascinated me. And beyond that, seeing Gypsy up there was just an unbelievable moment and such a full circle for me, because I never imagined I'd ever be working with Gypsy, you know, 30 years later, you know. So it's just a weird full circle moment. He's a savior in my pursuit of this art form, because he's an absolute legend. And that's kind of how it all came about. And I had an opportunity to produce. I started producing shows when the George Michael act kind of simmered down, because what people don't understand, when you're a lookalike, you're only as popular as the actual artist himself. So once the popularity of the artist, unless they die a tragic death, they don't become really a legend until they pass away. But, you know, since George Michael kind of just fell off the radar, so did my act. So I started producing my own shows and had an opportunity to produce a show for Casino. And that's when we kind of brainstormed who would host this show, and we reached out to Gypsy. And that's how it all began in late 1999. And we flew everyone to Lake Tahoe in the beginning of 2000. And that's when my whole immense love for this art form began.
I love that. I love that. You know, and I also love the aspects of our stories collectively, and because they're a time when our storylines converge and it brings a whole new meaning to everything that has come in our past. And Alfie, you have quite an extraordinary Hollywood story, and I'd love to give you the opportunity to talk about your background and how your storyline ultimately converged with Gypsy and Dan.
Oh, that's so funny that you brought that up. Yeah, well, I went to Hollywood in 1991, and I was going to go there to help people that were HIV positive with health and nutrition. And I was doing a speaking circuit at the time. And on my 22nd birthday, I went to La Cage, and I was exposed to Gypsy for the first time. And I thought, how marvelous is this? And I went two times after that, and it really stuck in my mind. I remember the closing number. What was the number then?
It was What Makes a Man a Man.
Yes. And I remember it, you know, just sticking in my mind, and it really touched my heart. And so then I went into autographs, and I wired the town of Hollywood to call me and tell me who was where at any given time. And I did a business there called Alfie's Autographs of Hollywood for 9 years, and it became very successful. And the internet was perfect for my business at the time. So I went on the internet, and it was very, very good for me. And then I ended up selling the business in 2000. I had became very ill and went up to Washington with my family, and I had got better. And then I decided to go to Thailand. And that's where our paths crossed, Nicholas, was in Thailand, which is so funny. And I think I met you over there. And then, of course, our paths crossed here in Palm Springs, which is you know, part of the full circle. So, so yeah, I decided to come here in 06, and then I was living back and forth to Thailand. And recently, I got this pink Cadillac, and it got me a lot of attention. Well, next thing you know, Dan Gore is knocking on my door and saying, we want you to come and join Carnival Cabaret. And I had known about Gypsy, and I was fascinated that she was still alive. And I came there the day before New Year's, and I saw the show. I'm a huge fan, and it was such an honor, and I was just mesmerized. And right at that time, it was a full circle moment for me because, of course, I had seen her in 92. And what I loved about it is that Dan Gore and Gypsy had kept the dream alive and had kept the art form alive just as it was, just how I had seen it in 92. And it touched my heart, and I remember seeing the closing number, which resembled the closing number of La Cage aux Folles back then. And, you know, it brought a tear to my eye. And so it was so funny when Dan, you know, finally called me, contacted me, and we sat down and started talking about this. I was just like, I'm on board. Count me in. And, you know, it's been a real honor and a real joy. I've enjoyed every minute of it for probably like the last month. So much fun, you know. I mean, I get to go in the dressing room and dress Gypsy and, you know, get to talk to the girls and put on wigs. And I even, you know, got to do the closing number, which was my full circle moment. And, yeah, so now I'm officially part of the cast.
You know, I just love it. I love it that in many ways our lives converged in one way or another a long time ago, because I lived in La Cage aux Folles was on La Cienega, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I lived in LA from I moved there in 88. And so it's the same kind of stomping ground that we've all been on. And now we're all here in the desert, and I love the saying that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And even though your team, Gypsy and Dan, has done a great job of getting the buzz out, Alfie is one of the most social people that I know personally, and I just have to congratulate you, Alfie, for the way that you've really turned up the volume for the whole collective. Yeah, the whole collective effort.
Well, thank you.
So we're leading up to discuss the April 1st event in more detail, but before we do that, I'd love for you to talk about, yes, before we do that, I'd love to talk about the sorts of performers that are coming through the regular show at Oscars. Why don't we start with you, Dan, to just talk about the upcoming ongoing production. And in particular, I'd love to hear about Venus Delight.
Okay. I want to, if I may, just back up a few
please,
steps about
please,
about Alfie, because, you know, this is not my first time here in the desert, you know, producing the ongoing show. And when I knew I'd come back to the desert, I really wanted to reach out to the local community and bring in someone local, just to fulfill that desire to be helped on both platforms, having the local community support me, and also giving someone a chance to fulfill a passion they have. And, you know, when I came across this, is people think it's such an easy thing just to go and hire someone, but for me, I'm such a particular producer that it's really important for me to have a person that has extreme passion and dedication and persistence in pursuing a career like this, because I demand so much of them and so much of their attention, and I really want people that actually want it. And when you really look at performers, I know from a general standpoint, from a general audience standpoint, they don't know who has persistence or passion, but as a producer and as a person that casts these shows, you know, I do. And, you know, when I reached out to Alfie, that's what I found in this human being, someone with extreme passion and extreme persistence in making dreams not just of his own, but of others come true. And that's why I found extremely valuable in him. And the concern and care for other people's well-being, you know, and all those elements and the energy he you know, provides just as a regular human being on an everyday basis is so, such a positive energy that it was so welcoming to have him on board. And I just wanted to get that across because I know you know Alfie, and it's a privilege. As much as he thinks it's a privilege for him being with Gypsy every day, we are extremely honored to have someone that's so thrilled to be a part of this project.
So thank you so much. All the love, Alfie.
I'm not ready to tear up. Thank
you. And I explained that to him before. You know, it's you know, he knows. I mean, I'm not to downplay anything, but he knows I had reached out to others before. But I only give people that one chance to show me what I want to hear and get from them. And people fail, you know. And when he came to talk to me, he came in with 500,000% energy and reinforcement and filled with life and filled with persistence and just not threatening, just love, you know, and that's something that you don't find in this industry on an everyday basis. It takes a long time before you find people like that. And I'll segue right into the cast because, you know, I've been doing this a long time, you know, focusing just on female impersonator shows and reviews, 15 years now on those shows exclusively. And the cast and people I bring in through that are permanent, they all have this similar type of energy. So there's no competition, there's no threat, there's no cause for alarm when you bring these powerhouses together, these creative geniuses together. And a lot of times there are. I think this is why this show has been such that's been so successful long term, is because we have a cast of people, you know, a set cast of people: Kevin Wiley, Patrick Ross, Andrew Raymer, who's worked with us, Frankie Kine, and now Alfie and Gypsy. And these people are not threatened by each other. It's almost like a unique, you know, all-star team where they have a common goal in delivering the best entertainment they can without competition involved internally. So
what I loved about it, Dan, if I can interject just a second, is that the feeling I got when I first walked into that dressing room was egos were checked at the door, you know, and people were humble, and it was so nice to be a part of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it comes to the point because each and every one of them have perfected an art, not just the art form, but the art. The art of recreating someone else's life that is so indelible in most people's lives, in their view. And they're also able to do the art of makeup and hair, all very different from a bar scene or a Halloween party. This is theater. And Dan has created a structured version of a show. So it's amazing because each and every one of them are individual artists.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%, having had the opportunity to see this show, but also my awareness of many of the performers that grace the stage. So talk about, Dan, some of the upcoming performers that you know will be on stage. And there's been a lot of buzz in particular about Venus Delight, which I'd love to find out a little bit more of the backstory, perhaps, not only of Venus, but some of the performers and what they actually undertake to perfect their art.
Sure, we can focus on Venus. You know, Venus reached out to me years ago, about 10 years ago, and I ran a pretty popular casting agency and booking agency for a while before I delved into the producing the shows exclusively. And Venus reached out to me, and I cast him in a couple of movies and TV shows, and he wanted to pursue his career as a Madonna impersonator. And since then, in the last couple of months, it's really has blown up because of a TV episode he did called My Strange Addiction, revealing that he had an addiction to becoming Madonna. And that addiction has driven him to get plastic surgery over the last, 5 years to look like Madonna. And, and it has continued to do that to perfect his craft. So we're being reunited. He's only worked for me once before, but he reached out to me after that TV appearance once he found out about the show and talked to me about this desire to be Madonna. And he has all these costumes. He spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on costumes and surgery to become Madonna. He joins our cast this weekend in Palm Springs, the 26th, 27th, 28th. And I was part of Madonna's dance crew team because I used to date one of the dancers that worked with Madonna. So I would find myself falling into a lot of Madonna wannabes, if you will, because they knew of my partner, Luis Camacho, and I was with him for 10 years. He still choreographs a lot of the shows that I do. And so Venus had a desire to get the approval of Luis, so that was probably one of the reasons why he pursued my attention a lot, to make sure Luis would give him that approval from working with Madonna so much. And so that's how I came across Venus, and now we get to be reunited here in Palm Springs this weekend. And he's a media hound right now. He's being asked for interviews all over the world because of that TV show, and Rolling Stone and all kinds of other outlets have pursued him in the past couple of weeks. So he's a media hound, as you say, at this point, really popular with these media outlets. And to talk about someone else, Frankie Kine is someone that's actually coming back into our cast. I think you witnessed Nicholas Frankie Kine when you came to our first week. And Frankie Kine, again, extreme privilege to have this gentleman with us, because he is someone that has been performing for, I hate to say this, but for over 40 years. He's been impersonating Liza Minnelli, and he's traveled throughout the world. And this is when I know I might be doing something correct, is when I have someone like Frankie Kine tell me that he'd like to be in my shows, because this is someone who has completely mastered the production value of shows like what I do, and traveled throughout the world, performed for head of states all over the, in several different countries. And it's just an absolute genius when it comes to looking like a woman, performing like these celebrities. And he is coming back into our cast as a permanent cast member starting April 2nd. He will be doing Liza Minnelli and Marilyn Monroe. And part of what I like to do, and one of the reasons that we were able to get Frankie back on here, is because he also will be co-producing the show with me and developing a new show with Gypsy and another cast member. So I love the fact that these gentlemen can have an outlet that they can involve me in and continue to drive the art of female impersonation. Because in my history of looking up and researching this art form, it has been such a depression in this art form in the hetero environment. It's thriving, of course, in the gay environment, but taking it out of the gay environment and putting it into a theater-like establishment, it's very rare that you see that anymore in the U.S. And that's what I'm striving to do, is bring that to the forefront of these high-end reviews like you saw, and taking them to the forefront of our communities throughout the country.
I love that.
Talk about how long your confirmed run is at Oscars in Palm Springs. And by the way, carnivalcabaret.com is the website that people can go to. But talk about the confirmed run that you know. Of course, there's always the desire for to have that extended. But how long is your current run at Oscars?
Right now, we are going to be Oscars through April 30th. Actually, to May 2nd. That falls on a weird date. It's May, I think May 2nd. I'm jumping
okay.
their calendar right now. May 2nd, yes.
Okay, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to put Alfie and Dan in a private room during a commercial break, because, Gypsy, they need to talk about you for a minute off the record in a way that you cannot hear them. Gypsy, you're going to be able to hear. You're going to hear Gypsy. You're going to be able to hear the commercial as it's airing. I'm going to choose a longer commercial to give Dan and Alfie the opportunity to confer about an announcement that they're going to make when we come back. So does that sound good to everybody?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm now putting Gypsy on hold, and Gypsy will be hearing what's being broadcast publicly. And Dan and Alfie, when you stop hearing me, you will be in a private room with each other. So that's what's happening right now. And I'm going to play a few minutes of other content so we have the opportunity to prepare this big announcement. And I'm excited because we didn't know that this was going to be a scoop on my show, but it actually is going to be a scoop on the show. So how cool is that? So I'm going to be back with the big news after this.
I'm Nicholas Snow, and I'm living powerfully with HIV. I write about this in my memoir, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. The book is dedicated to the tens of millions of people in the world living with HIV, most of whom do not yet know their status, to everyone who fights for us, and to those who still fear us. From Hollywood to Bangkok to Bali and beyond, including Kuala Lumpur and Palm Springs, with profound expansion to Singapore, Mumbai, and throughout all of Asia, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, could easily be titled Eat, Pray, Disclose. Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, is available in paperback and for Kindle at Amazon.com and in paperback at LifePositiveBook.com. Remember, fight for the life and the world of your dreams until you have no life left in this world, for then you will have truly lived. If you're one of my regular listeners, you've heard what's coming next, so thank you for your patience. But it's important for me to share the following information with my new listeners, so here goes. Since this podcast launched in early July 2012, it's been a big hit. Listened to on average over 55,000 times a month and surpassing almost 1.7 million downloads as of late December 2014. This means that sometime in the year 2015, I'll be able to truthfully proclaim that this podcast has had millions of listeners worldwide. Thank you for being one of them. Nicholas Snow Live features long-form interviews with fascinating, creative, and transformative people from all walks of life, as well as compelling event coverage and news of ongoing adventures in the world of travel and entertainment. This isn't changing, but what has changed is that I now put my listeners, that's you, and your viewpoints, in the spotlight at the beginning of virtually every new episode of the show, so we can discuss and reflect upon the hottest topics of the day. My show is about connecting the circuitry of humanity, and I want to be connected with you, and in turn, allow you to connect with my worldwide audience. I'm excited that in addition to the audio podcast, I'm now doing live video broadcast on my YouTube channel, and I'm inviting your participation via Google Plus Hangouts. To share your views with my audience, you need to know when I'm going on the air. So please follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, YouTube, The Huffington Post, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, LinkedIn, Clout, and of course on iTunes. Simply go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the social networks link in the main submenu. You may also tweet me directly at TheNicholasSnow or like my page at Facebook.com/NicholasSnowLive. And now, on with the snow. Show.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity.
Welcome back to the show, and I'm just really touched that I have the opportunity to create this historical moment. We've been speaking with James Gypsy Hawk, who has this amazing international artistic reputation. Dan Gore, a longtime producing partner, really keeping an art form alive and reviving it. And Alfie Pettit, a.k.a. Ariel Trampway, who's honoring and expressing his life force in a way that truly makes a difference. We've been talking in general about carnival cabaret and female impersonation and broader issues, and now we're bringing the focus to the big April 1st event, Carnival Cabaret Gala Celebration of the Art of Female Impersonation, honoring drag legend James Gypsy Hawk. So in association with Ariel Trampway Entertainment, Oscar's Cafe and Bar, Lulu California Bistro, and members of the drag community, this gala performance of Carnival Cabaret to celebrate the art of female impersonation is happening April Fool's Day, Wednesday, April 1st, 2015. There's a hosted cocktail hour at 6 p.m. and the presentation and show start at 7 p.m. This is going to be happening in the ballroom of the Palm Springs Jewish Community Center at 233 West Alejo Drive. It's adjacent to Temple Isaiah. There's ample parking available. But without further ado, I'm going to bring all of our guests back onto the show right now. And I'm going to actually... So, Gypsy, you and I are going to listen to Alfie and Dan because they're going to talk more about what's going on April 1st, okay? So, Alfie and Dan, take it away.
I'm getting confused here.
James, Gypsy, you just have to listen. And Dan and Alfie are going to bring us in up to speed.
Okay.
When Alfie came on board... about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, and we started working on doing something, working on how he would be involved in the show. One of the things he brought up was a very strong focus on Gypsy and Gypsy's career, and he has campaigned diligently to focus on getting Gypsy a star on Palm Springs Walk of Stars here in Palm Springs. And Gypsy has been nominated for the star. He's been approved for the star. And the event on April 1st is raising money to deliver that star to our legend, James Gypsy Hawk. And that's all being headed up by Alfie.
Oh, my God. I hope I live long enough. But if we only make $1.50, you'll have to go there and plant it yourself.
We'll put a gold sticky star on your forehead.
Surprise, surprise,
good.
Gypsy. You're getting a star.
That is a surprise. I know. I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I can't believe it.
They've been so trying to keep this a secret, but we decided that this would be a good time to announce it. So that can blow out the promotion without you being worried, without worrying that you're going to discover the big surprise. Alfie, what would you like to add to your inspiration and motivation to make this night about Gypsy in such a star creating way?
Well, what's so funny about it, you know, I shared how I first saw Gypsy in the full circle moment, and You know, really we were kind of toting this as, you know, Ariel Trampway's, you know, addition to the cast, which it is. But what I love about it is that the focus really is on Gypsy, and that's where it should stay. Gypsy is the star. He is a drag legend. He is a trailblazer. He has done it all, and it's such an honor to get this going, raise the money. I'm looking forward to the day that we plant that star on the Star Walk. It's so exciting. And what's nice about it is it's not about me. It's about Gypsy. And I love that.
Well, I'm absolutely flabbergasted. I thought this was just where I'll be working in a Jewish center. And even though I'm not Jewish, I'm so old, they pay me, just keep me there.
Well, I want to congratulate all of you for everything that's coming up. Alfie, why don't you tell people how they can get tickets to the April 1st event?
Well, you can go on, let's see here, you can go on Carnival Cabaret. You can, on Facebook, you can go on Ariel Trampway Entertainment on Facebook. And there are links on there where you can buy tickets to it. And you can come and join us and help us raise money and really get educated, you know, because I find that, you know, the biggest thing is educating people. At the end of the show, Gypsy talks about himself, and, you know, people that don't know get educated, and they fall in love with him, of course, through the show. But at the end, that's when the real love affair happens. And so at this event, we're going to be just educating a little bit more on the amazing life that this man's had. And, yeah, so people can, you know, celebrate Gypsy.
And also,
so
addition,
there's – go ahead.
Go ahead. We haven't even announced as well, which I know this is not a surprise to Gypsy, but Gypsy has been inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records, and he is a world record holder. He is the oldest working female impersonator in the world at 83 years old, and he will be in the next edition of the Guinness Book of World Records. So he is a Guinness World Record holder as well.
That's amazing.
That's really spectacular. So another direct link to get the tickets for the event is carnivalcabaret.ticketleap.com/Ariel, A-R-I-A-L. That's carnivalcabaret.ticketleap.com/Ariel, A-R-I-A-L. Reserved orchestra seating is $89.95. Regular banquet table seating is $59.95. Limited share seating, $39.95. And Alfie, I guess there's food and drinks involved in the evening?
There is. All you can drink and all you can eat, of course, catered by Lulu's.
Well, fantastic.
Alcohol
and
by Oscars, yes.
Okay.
Alcohol is being provided by Oscars, and all the food is being provided through Willie at Lulu. So very, very grateful for those two people coming forward. All the proceeds from the ticket sales are going directly to the money needed for the star, and with a complete sellout, we will have enough to pay for the star and get that star delivered to Gypsy before the year out.
Yeah, a huge thank you to Barbara and Jerry Keller, and of course Willie and Albert, which are personal good friends of mine. I just did an event with them the other night, and we're so happy that they are donating the food, and of course Oscars as well, you know. And that's where you can find Carnival Cabaret on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night of every week.
Lulu California Bistro is one of my advertisers. They help that make this show possible, and Barbara and Jerry and Willie are just really fabulous. So that it's just wonderful that all these people are coming together. I'd love to give you all some final remarks. We're not rushed, but I'd like to give you all some final remarks about anything and everything. And why don't we start with you, Alfie?
Well, I would just like to thank you, Nicholas, for arranging this. And it's very exciting. It gets me out of bed because usually I sleep till noon. So, yes, I'm sitting here with my pug, Petunia, and we're just thrilled to be on your show and looking forward to April 1st. And seeing everybody come out and support Gypsy and celebrate Gypsy.
Fantastic. And Dan, what would you like to add?
You know, I just like to touch on Gypsy's career. You know, one of the things people don't realize and people don't touch on is the amazing. Well, one thing I think people are fascinated with about Gypsy is the age. We have so many, an older demographic comes to these shows, and I think Gypsy really gives them a lot more hope and life when they see someone so much older than them entertaining and being in heels. I think it really provides a lot of energy and life after they leave the show, seeing someone so much older doing something with their lives and not just and pursuing this happiness, you know. And I know that's something people don't really focus on, but I know when I see the older demos leaving our audience, they do leave with a brighter a brighter look on their faces than when they come in, because they see something that I think gives them hope and, as well as entertains them. And in Gypsy's career, not many people know that, but he's worked with some of the best directors. You know, Sidney Lumet and Robert Altman are two directors that have directed Gypsy in his movie career. And those are two director legends. It's amazing that someone in Gypsy's capacity, being the female person there, has worked with these guys. And not to mention Mel Brooks. So, you know, that, you know, people see Gypsy and they go, oh, yeah, he's been on TV shows, but and films, but to be in TV and film and also be directed by Sidney Lumet or Mel Brooks is something that doesn't happen to an everyday drag queen. That's for damn sure. So, I mean, kudos to his career, and that's what we're honoring on April 1st, as someone that deserves to be recognized for what his life experiences have given, not only to us, but to everyone in the world that needs to know about Gypsy. So.
Beautifully stated. Gypsy, you and I don't really know each other, but my goal is to honor and express my own life force in a way that makes a difference. And you are certainly someone that embodies that. And you've been a trailblazer your entire life, and you're still going strong. And I was wondering if you would like to share some insights or words of wisdom for us youngsters on what we can do to hopefully even accomplish a fraction of what you've done.
Well, you know, listening to my wonderful buddies here, I call my boss my buddy, Dan, and that wonderful Alfie, and you, as a matter of fact, you have given me the words to say today, Nicholas, because of your life. When I was younger, I used to feel so disappointed. I used to think, oh my God, there's no hope. When a show would close or somebody was nasty or somebody. And now I'm in my 80s, I have finally found through, like the show today, that you never have to lose hope or anything about people, because sooner or later they'll come through. They will do things that you will least expect, but will show their love and respect for what you do. You've done that with your life, and everybody else has too, and especially Dan. Not everybody has thanked him for all the hard work that he's done for their careers, because there's a lot of people that got big careers from Dan. So today is it's a surprise to me that there's more to this show on the first than what the first looked like. And I hope that people at least come out so that the poor souls don't go out there where I have to have food stamps to get the damn thing on the street. But you know what? I'll have Ruta Lee come out, honey, and she's more colorful than I'll ever be, so she can do it. But I want to thank each and every one of you, and, of course, not just for today, but how about for all the years that Dan has supported me? And so today is just the beginning, Nicholas. It's just the beginning of meeting other people that will continue on.
That's beautifully said. I love it. I want to thank all of you for being on the show today. I'm going to be sharing a link to this broadcast to Alfie's Facebook page and my own. And the moment you start sharing it, people can click on it and listen to it. I'll submit it to the Huffington Post. And I just want to thank all of you for making this a very special episode of my show.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Okay, my pleasure. You guys have a wonderful day. My listeners, you can always go to carnivalcabaret.com, because this collective, wonderfully creative group of people, I'm sure will always be doing something interesting. And that's really the best single source of information, carnivalcabaret.com. And I'm really honored that you've taken the time to listen, and invite you to share this episode via your favorite social networks. I'm really excited because beginning the second week of April, I'm going to be live every day, Monday through Friday, at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, launching an entire new season of my show. And some of the most important episodes that week will be exclusive coverage of the recent Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards benefiting Desert AIDS Project. And in the very first episode of my new season, I'm featuring an amazing singer-songwriter who stole the show at the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards. I have audio of Barbara Keller's grandson, who performed an original song at the Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, and that particular episode of my show will kick off my new season the second week of April. Until then, I'm Nicholas Snow.
You have been listening to Nicholas Snow Live, produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow @TheNicholasSnow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google+, linked prominently at NicholasSnowLive.com, where you'll also find the archive of all of our episodes. That's NicholasSnowLive.com. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We're honored by your presence.